around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here today, and we'd like to take the opportunity to welcome each of you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Well, today is September the 4th, Labor Day. I trust that you've had the opportunity to have the day off and possibly the opportunity to spend some time with your family and with some friends and some great and wonderful fellowship. You know, our world is becoming more tenuous and uncertain each day. Every day we read articles of what's taking place in the earth, and they're always different. Sadly, most of them, for the most part, are negative. I read just the other day where Ford is going to lose $4.6 billion, with a B, dollars in the EV part of their organization, electrical vehicles. I've come to the conclusion there's probably not one honest, full-blown business for the most part of that size in America, because it is all subsidized by the government, we the people. In 2020, the airline industry received over $50 billion in free money. Some of it was low-interest loans. And then look at how the airline industry treats the people who fly with their company. I saw where Yellow Freight went bankrupt. The government had loaned them in 2020 nearly $1 billion as well. So as I listen and I read and I watch and I observe, I'm thinking there's hardly one company that I'm aware of that isn't getting some kind of subsidy from the government, we the people. Amtrak, all of them. There's so much. And I'm sure there are legitimate businesses that don't get anything. But when you see the volatility, it makes you see and understand the uncertainty. The uncertainty will only grow exponentially. We never know from one day to the next what's going to happen, what the cost of food will be, what the cost of fuel will be. Will the power grid endure enough? Will another outbreak of some pathogen, will it come to fruition here in the coming days? Will the central bank digital currency, will it suddenly come on the scene, paralyzing humanity? All of these things are accelerating in the earth. That was the word the Lord gave me back in January of 2012. I had just come off a 21-day fast, and he gave me the one word, acceleration. Everything would begin to accelerate, and it is accelerating to the wrong side constantly. And with the elections next year, the corruptness, the vileness, the wickedness, it is becoming immeasurable, the enormity of the wickedness in this nation and its leaders. And I want to see God move in America. I want to see God touch this nation. I want to see the Holy Ghost of God get involved in everyone's life and change this country, change this nation. But until ministers begin to cry out and cry aloud against sin, you'll not see the nominal church turn in the right direction. Preachers are supposed to steer the church in its spirituality, in its morality, in its integrity, in its character. But they're so timid, they're so weak, they're so anemic, they say nothing about anything because they have fear of losing their money. They don't trust God. They beg, they implore, they beseech daily about money. Jesus asked the question. Mark 8, 36-37. What should it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? People are exchanging their souls even now for fentanyl, coke, liquor, pot, trank. That's the drug xylazine mixed with a veterinarian tranquilizer, and it's called trank. And at the injection site, something happens to the tissue. They end up having to amputate the limb. When will people wake up and understand? Sin destroys. Sin kills. Sin damns. Sin mars. Sin hurts all of us. And look at the leaders of this nation. Look at them. So dishonest. These people create havoc in our nation. Joe Biden won't do one thing about the border and says he's concerned about the Ukrainian border. That is nothing, that Ukrainian war is nothing but a morass slush fund of money. That's all it is. Nothing more, nothing less. I read the other day where over 500,000 Ukrainians have been killed in this war. They're laundering money, immeasurable amounts of money. John McCain was involved in it. I mean, so much, so much. And then we have people who are timid and won't say one word about sin or the filth or the degradation or the immorality that is in this nation. Sadly, the church today needs a touch of God. I read every week where ministers are embezzling money, stealing money, caught in adultery, caught in drunk driving. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. The church is certainly not prepared for what's coming. But you can be prepared. You can be on fire for God. You can be led by the Holy Ghost of God. You can be strengthened by the hand of God. You can be empowered by the Word of God. It is a choice to submit, to surrender, to capitulate, to yield to the perfected will of God for your life. I'm going to do a little update today on Daniel chapter 12 because it seems to me there are those out there who do not understand the difference between time and protocol. Protocol is how you do something. The military, for the most part, is heavily involved in protocol. Institutions, hospitals, et cetera, in operating rooms. There is protocol to keep sponges and medical instruments from being sewed up in people's bodies. Protocol. But obviously there are those listening to me who cannot discern protocol and timing. And if you can't delineate between the two, you'll never know the truth. So sad and so tragic, but today I felt the need to address that. But before I do that, I want to play a wonderful old hymn, Gordon Mote, Michael English, an old hymn that's entitled Heaven's Jubilee, a time of shouting, a time of rejoicing, a time of lauding and extolling the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That'll be time of rejoicing, extolling and lauding and praising the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Will you be in that heavenly host? Will you be in that number? Will you hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We'll enter into what is known as the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years. That'll be followed by the great white throne judgment. Following that, God said he would create a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There'll be no more sea. We'll go into eternity. Two types of people. Natural born people and those with glorified bodies. I am doing a lot of research. I'm reconsidering things in the scriptures, things I was taught, things that I was misled about. But we live in an hour when there is an overwhelming need for accuracy concerning the Word of God. You hear me use the term both spiritually and intellectually honest. I've come to understand in the past several weeks, there's a lot of dishonest people out there who'll tell you they're Christians. They will say things, they will put things in writing on my YouTube channel, and know what they're writing is not true, but they'll write it anyway. From where I come from, they call that a hypocrite, dishonest. You say one thing, you do something else. But before I get into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to share a verse that I encourage you to study that'll help you understand. When Christ comes back to the earth, yes, it will be devastating. There'll be a morass of humans that die at the Battle of Armageddon. I have no idea when the vicissitudes of the cosmos are shaken by the power of Jesus Christ when he comes through the heavenlies. I don't know how many people will die. I used to think it was going to be cut and dry. You either made it or you didn't. But the scriptures are telling me something different. Like here in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That tells you there are going to be those who will survive the Battle of Armageddon and go into the millennial reign of Christ. Now, I know some of you now are probably shuddering, thinking I've fell off my rocking chair and hit my head on the porch. But listen again to that word, Zechariah 14, verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left, the residue, those who came through the Battle of Armageddon and the Great Tribulation, of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, these will be nations that also fought against Jerusalem. God will not destroy them. He won't kill them all. But they're going to go into the millennial reign of Christ. Let me read it again. Zechariah 14, 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now watch this, verse 17, and it shall be that whoso will not come up. Free will. You don't have to come up. Whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. So God is going to send drought, which will then ensue famine. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, but have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. He calls them heathen. Heathens. If they don't go up to Jerusalem to worship God, he's going to smite them with the plague. You see, the older I become, the more I grow in the Lord, I see so many things And right now, I'm trying to put together, I said I would never write another book, tired of writing books, but I feel the need to write a book, The Second Advent of Christ and the First Resurrection, The Judgment of the Nations, The Millennial Reign of Christ, and the Great White Throne Judgment, and then talk about the Second Resurrection, which that encompasses the Great White Throne Judgment. And put this into scriptures. Put the scriptures there that people can see and hopefully understand. You see, this is the problem. You have what we know as carnal Christians. Paul had a great trouble, great adversity with the carnal Christians at the church at Corinth. There were isms and schisms. There were division, fornication, where a stepson sleeps with his mother, his stepmother, all sorts of issues. We need to get back to the Word of God and study every word, line upon line, precept upon precept. Because we're missing not only monumental truth, we're missing a plethora of truth. And there are those out there who don't understand what they read. They get no unction from the Holy Ghost. Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. There are those who listen to this program who are corrupt. That's right. 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul said, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. People throw things at me. They don't even understand what they're saying. They're corrupt. They would say they're not. But when you say, like great tribulation saints, that is nowhere to be found in the Word of God. Yet you put it in your writings. That's dishonest and that's a hypocrite. You know it does not say that. Yet you say it anyway. That is deception. Those that are of that nature are like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They're hypocrites. Read the 23rd chapter of Matthew. It was either 5 or 6 times Jesus cried against them and said, you hypocrites, you hypocrites, you hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. This is where we are today. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 35 through 54. And I'm going to share with you the protocol. I kind of termed today's program Update Daniel chapter 12. The protocol. The protocol is the way, the process, how it's laid out, it will come to fruition. Protocol has nothing to do with timing. Now, there's only one phrase here in this passage, verse 35 to 54, 19 verses, there's only one phrase in there that speaks of timing. The rest of it talks about the protocol. Protocol has nothing to do with timing. You can set aside a time in which the protocol must come to fruition and be exacted or brought forth. But you can have protocol and have no time for it to be used until a certain time, a certain event, a certain place. That's what we see the Apostle Paul addressing. So let's look here as Paul promises the believer the glorious resurrection. The glorious resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? See, that's the question. The question is not about timing. The question is about protocol. Now, Paul is speaking in a second person, per se, when he says, but some man will say, somebody will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Well, Paul's going to give us the insight and the revelation. Verse 36, thou fool. See, he wants them to know they're foolish, they're cynical, they have no understanding, but he's going to try to help their understanding by issuing a declaration of protocol. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. So you put a bean in the soil, a grain of corn, wheat, whatever. It has to die that it might come up, and it will bring nourishment and strength. It will also have the ability to earn you money. You can sell the corn. You can sell the wheat. You can sell the beans. There's so much in the ground, the dirt, the rain, the sunshine. It's all there. You get dirt on your clothes, you try to get that off. You try to get that out through the laundry, washing, dry cleaning. But there's life. And we don't understand it. I remember in elementary school, we took the little half-pint milk cartons. We cut the top of it off, so we had a little square box. We went outside, we got dirt, we put it in there, and put a green bean in it. And in just a matter of time, it sprouted up. There came a little blade. Out of that little bit of dirt, we put in that small cardboard milk carton. Verse 37. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. So Paul is telling us here, when we sow the corn, we sow the green bean, thou sowest not that body shall be. What we sow is not what it shall be in the context when it comes up. It'll come up with a whole stalk of corn, 2, 3, possibly 4 ears, hundreds, thousands of kernels of corn. Is that what you saw when you put in the ground? No, but it had to die for that to ultimately come out of it. Paul's talking about you and I. We're going to be buried in the ground. I get questions all the time about cremation. I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm not going to say it's wrong, but I don't believe in it. All the Christians, the patriarchs, were buried. It was Moloch, burning, cremating, the god of Moloch. I'm not saying it's a sin. God can gather the ashes anywhere, any place, any time, because he is God. Abraham bought a piece of property called Machpelah. Machpelah, I know where there's a little place, a spot in the road in Gaston County, and it's called Machpelah. Abraham bought Machpelah to bury Sarah in, and others were buried there as well, but he bought a place of ground to bury his family. Verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Just like you and I are today, we're all human beings. We all are of different stature, different height, different weight, different color of skin, different texture of hair. Different color of hair. None of us are alike. That's the genius of God in DNA. Who but God could design something that intricate, put it in the seed When you read the Bible and genealogy, almost 100% of the time, there are just a few variations. God only gave the names of the men and not the women, because it's about the seed. Romans 9, the promised seed, which was Isaac. So there's a vast mystery in how God does things, but the fact that God created DNA, I've heard some say DNA looks like a little ladder. There was a ladder from heaven to earth. And Jacob, God changed his name to Israel. He saw the angels ascending and descending on like a ladder. God did this. Everyone has eyes and nose and ear and a mouth, etc., etc. But we all look different, don't we? We all look different. And when you are born, all of that you're going to be, for instance, a man. Some men, their DNA determines they'll have a heavy beard. Another man, his beard is very shallow, very light, not heavy beard. Women the same way, hair, the color. All of that is in conception. It's hard to believe. All of that, your fingernails, your lips, everything about your body is all in that DNA. And only God could be such genius to incorporate that. And all of the billions and billions and billions of people throughout history, the last 6,000 years from Adam and Eve until now, nobody's DNA is alike. The genius of God. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to ever receive his own body. So just like we're all different now in our humanity, we will also be different in our glorified bodies. But we'll not be human as we know humanity. We'll be glorified just like the body of Christ. Paul says in verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. I find it amazing in Jeremiah 32:27, God said, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We see in the scriptures the flesh of men, the flesh of beasts. Think about the jackass that Balaam was riding. When the jackass saw the angel standing there with the sword, he run Balaam up against the rocks and the narrowness of the straightway. And you might say he skinned his knee. And Balaam has gotten so angry, gets off the beast, he's going to behead the beast. But the beast starts talking to him. A talking jackass. Wow, I think I've seen a few humans that were like that. The angel would have spared the jackass and killed Balaam. But see, God was the God of that flesh, of that beast. Fishes. God created a great fish, Jesus said, and swallowed up Jonah. Swallowed him up. Caused the fish to pick up a golden coin. Told Peter, said, go fish. You're going to catch a fish, and his mouth will be a golden coin. You go pay our taxes. You think he's the God of all flesh? The flesh of birds. Elijah was fed by a raven. So when God says, I'm the God of all flesh, don't ever underestimate that. Don't ever doubt that. In the battle of Armageddon, God is going to gather the fowls of the air. They're going to come and eat the flesh of kings, of captains, of horses. They're going to eat flesh that it's unbelievable the enormity of the flesh and God's ecosystem is going to send the fowls of the air. And they're going to come and they're going to dine and eat of this great supper that God has provided for them. For them. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. We saw these men mentioned in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's Revelation 6, verses 14, 15, and 16. Ezekiel 39, 17. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl, and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come. Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you. Even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. And you shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, and of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. And you shall eat fat till you be full, and drink blood till you be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. Again, God authenticates, God validates his lordship and his majesty. Jesus alluded to this same event. Matthew 24:28, for whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Unimaginable flesh. In the Valley of Megiddo, at the Battle of Armageddon, and yet Zechariah tells us, they're going to be those who came against Jerusalem. They're going to come through and go into the millennial reign, and they're going to have free will to go up to Jerusalem to worship Christ our Lord or not. If they don't, they pay the penalty. I'm telling you, we need to go deeper in God and his word. Getting back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 40. There are also celestial bodies, meaning heavenly bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. He's talking here about the glory of the heavens. The glory of the heavens, the galaxies, the universe, the planets, the stars, all of this. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. again. It's as though the stars have a type of DNA. They're different. And they all possess different stature of glory. You and I will also have that measure of glory in these clay jar, these earthen vessels. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. You see, we are mortal. We evacuate refuse from our body. We sweat, creates body odor, bacteria, smell. See, that's the corruption. That's the corruption. That's the mortality. And the resurrection, that will not exist. Bad breath, body odor, getting dirty. Did you know that? I don't believe you'll even get dirty when you're in a glorified body. You see, it's beyond my understanding, beyond my comprehension. But see, that deals with corruption. That deals with mortality. We're not going to be corrupt. We're not going to be mortal. We're going to be incorrupt. We're going to be immortal. Jesus and his glorified bodies, in Luke 24, 39, he said to the disciples, touch me. They thought they saw a spirit. He said, touch me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. Spirit is not tangible. A spirit has not matter and substance like a human body does. Jesus had a glorified body. It looked like his old body, but it was glorified. It was not corruption. It was not mortal. It was immortal. It was incorruptible. There's going to be a transformation. Paul is trying to help the Corinthians understand what God is going to do. I was thinking the other day as I was studying, what God gave the Apostle Paul is unsearchable. Paul did not even share, probably, I wouldn't be afraid to say the Apostle Paul might have shared 25% of what God gave him. And we grapple with that small measure. I believe from my study, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16, 17, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He did not confer with men, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. I believe the Apostle Paul spent 3 years in the wilderness. Some theologians go as far as to say that Christ himself taught Paul all of this. 3 years of an education, similar to what he gave the disciples, the apostles, that he called in the first 12. It is mind-boggling, the gravity, the depth, and the breadth of God Almighty. He is so august, we are unable to remotely come close to understanding the depth and the breadth of the Word of God. Here again in 1 Corinthians 15:42, so also in the resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. So you put the seed in the ground and it died. Did you know that seed's alive? Doesn't look like it, does it? But it's alive. John 12:24, verily I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Even that, whether it's a green bean, tomato seed, corn seed, it all has to die. We're going to die should the Lord tarry. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit, much manifestation. God has so much, and we desire so little. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Looking at old people, and I'm getting there swiftly. Man gets to be in his 90s, pushing 100. He doesn't get much honor, does he? Oh, if he's young, vibrant, got a great mind, great orator, talked about Barack insane, Obama, what an orator he was, how well he spoke, etc., etc. But an old man, his body is sown in dishonor, weak, anemic, can't do things, can't pick up things, can't travel, etc. It is sown in weakness. The strength of men and of women, as far as that goes, wanes with the years. It wanes with the years. The older you get, no doubt the weaker you become. You just can't do what you one time did. So your body is capitulating to a dishonorable state. It is sown in weakness. My grandmother was 90. She liked from February to June. 4 months, she'd have been 95 years of age. But I would dare say she didn't weigh much over 100 pounds when she passed away. Frail. Hands, fingers bony. In the natural, her body was deteriorating. It was sown in weakness, frail, just immeasurable fragility. But Paul said, in the resurrection, it's going to be raised in power. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, dunamis, God anointed power. These earth and clay jars are going to be touched by the very electrifying power of God Almighty, and we'll become a spiritual body yet having flesh and bone. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. Paul is making a profuse delineation and what will be, what is to come. Again, this all is addressing protocol. Protocol. Don't email me. Don't post nothing on the YouTube place. because you don't understand the things you need to understand, and all you're doing is running your mouth and saying things that are so absurd. Absurd. Because you don't understand protocol. You don't get the protocol. You're dishonest. You call them tribulation saints, great tribulation saints. The word for tribulation in the Greek is thlipsis. It's the same everywhere you read it. No matter where you read the word tribulation, it is the same. But see, these dishonest people will say things like, well, these are great tribulation saints. Show it to me. You see, it's worse than a hypothesis. Because the Bible says something different, and you're adding or you're taking away from the validity and the veracity of the Word of Almighty God. You're dishonest intellectually, and if you're dishonest intellectually, you're dishonest spiritually. You got to yield to the Holy Ghost for your mind and your spirit to be honest. You got to be led. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The modern church knows very little about being led by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can order your steps. The Holy Ghost can take you where he wants you to be and keep you from going where the devil's trying to get you to be. Galatians 5:16-17, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Don't be dishonest intellectually. Don't be dishonest spiritually. Be a real man. Be a real Christian. And tell the truth. Revelation 21:8, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. That's why it's hard to believe there'll be many politicians in heaven. Because lying, that was one of the Ten Commandments, not to bear false witness. How many people have been lied on and they suffered because of the lies? That's persecution. Now, if it's the truth, then you're a thief or criminal, then that's who you are. But there will be those who will always try to slander and gossip and beat you down, but that's because their father is the devil. I read this morning in the book of James, the tongue is an unruly member, unruly, set on fire from hell itself. And it hurts people. People hurt people. People don't even know you and they lie about you. That's right. They've never said a word. They've never spoken to you one time. They've never had dinner with you, but they will be purveyors of lies against you. But you're blessed. Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil falsely against you for my sake. Rejoice. Be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're in the company of prophets when people try to castigate slander and ruin you through innuendo and words. You know, I was reading again the other day. I read my Bible just constantly, and I watched the demeanor and the disposition of Christ with the Sadducees when they were trying to trap him in the resurrection, because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So they're sad, you see. But he didn't rail on them like he did at other times, because I believe he realized They were asking, in a sense, an honest question. So his response was there in Matthew 22, 29, and 30. He said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. People with glorified bodies will never get married. I believe those that go into the millennial and into eternity without glorified bodies, I believe they will procreate, and as God determined in creation for Adam and Eve to replenish the earth and multiply, it will go back to that. It will go back to that. There is a difference in my understanding in the nation of Israel. We're all saved by the same blood. I probably shouldn't even share this today, but he's talking to the nations in Matthew 25 and 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, that's the sheep nations, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is very important. From the foundation of the world. But then Paul, talking to the church in Ephesians 1 and 4, he says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So in Matthew 25 and 34, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. To the church, he says, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So how far reaching, how far back does God go? These are things we need to study. These are things we need to learn. These are things we should pursue. Hopefully tomorrow, I will finish this up. I pray you have a great evening with your family this Labor Day. That the grace of God will forever abound in your heart and in your life. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support for this ministry. Thank you for giving and not having to be asked. Thank you for loving the Lord in that degree and that manner that you give without having to be asked to give.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.